Well, hello, and welcome to the Financial Wake Up Call with Dave Crossan. I am Dave Crossan, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast and hopefully all of my podcasts. Well, this week is a good topic. You know what? It's a great topic, and I wanted to get into this topic because this is something people think about when they are nearing retirement. How do I approach retirement? Should there be a game plan as I get to that point where I retire, I leave my job, and now I need to live off of my assets and make some good decisions with where I go from that point forward? So what I thought I would do today is look at it as a five-year time frame. In other words, I've decided that I'm retiring and I need to take action 5 years before that point. Now, why would I need to do that? Well, the hardest thing for a lot of individuals when they retire is they just jump right into it. They have their job, they're making a certain amount of income, and then it's retirement time. And now that income that they were making, that they're used to making, that $100,000 or whatever the number is, now all of a sudden with their different benefits or Social Security, maybe a pension, distributions from their 401k, it could be half. It could be a much lower amount. And that adjustment is extremely difficult. And what I see people do is they go through their assets because they're taking away from the principal that they need to utilize to generate income. And unfortunately, they go through their assets and they have a challenging time setting up a plan that will work for them under those circumstances. So what I wanted to talk about today is setting up a plan 5 years before retirement and looking at your total picture, looking at your assets and putting together a game plan so that you gradually get into retirement. And I wanted to bring up a couple different points here to look at, things to consider as you make that approach toward retirement. Well, number one, you need to take a good inventory of all of your assets. And that's not just your 401k or your home or your investment account. You also need to look at the other side of it, your debts. Because what we need to look at is, okay, let's say you have a home, it has appreciated nicely, but you have a mortgage on that. So consider this, that's money that's coming out of your pocket because you're paying for that asset. That's an expense. You want to look at other debts you may have, credit cards, auto loans, whatever it may be. Because remember, what we're needing to do as we're getting closer to retirement is we need to have less money coming out of your pocket so that the amount that you're receiving in retirement, which would be typically less than you were working, that you now have the ability to live off of these assets. So number one, we want to take a good inventory of what you own, what you have, all of the different holdings, like I said, your home, your 401k, and maybe a brokerage account, your different bank accounts, whatever it is, and also look at the other side of it about the different debts and loans and different things that you're paying. That's an expense. So let's take a good look at that. And that feeds right into now looking at our overall budget. We want to look at what's coming in the door currently, you know, what is, you know, with our working for our employer or if we have a business or whatever it is, you know, what are we making and what are we spending, so to speak? You know, in other words, I am making a certain amount, but also I am paying out my mortgage expense, my different expenses that I have, maybe different loans, a car loan, different expenses for the home. We want to get a good understanding of what that looks like. So for example, and I'm just making this up, let's say I have coming in $10,000 a month and my expenses are $7,000 or $8,000 a month. Well, let's consider this. What if my income in retirement goes down to $5,000 a month? Well, I'm in the hole for $3,000 a month right off the bat. So we need to look at that as, okay, what am I currently making as I'm employed? What are my overall expenses? And if you can see that your income in retirement will be less and our expenses are not going to change, we're going to have a problem. So this is an opportunity to have a budget. And again, that with a budget, what I like about it, I like to write it out. I like it right in front of me, or you can do it on your computer. When you see it in front of you, then you can say, okay, well, I don't need to be spending this much on my cable, or maybe my insurance that I'm paying for my car, or my home, maybe I can raise that deductible so that it's less expensive, the cost for the insurance or different things that I have, or maybe, you know, my car, do I need a car where I'm spending $800 a month? Or maybe this is an opportunity where I can get a smaller car, maybe $400 a month. And maybe it's better on gas and I can, you know, not have that much of an expense when it comes to going to the gas station each week to fill up the car. This is a good opportunity to look for different ways to lower those overall expenses. Now, this is a big one. As we're approaching retirement, look for opportunities to increase savings. So what do I mean by that? So for example, for your 401k, make sure you're at least contributing up to the match. If you're not, that's money that your employer is willing to give you, but if you're not at least contributing up to the match, you're leaving money on the table. So number one, if you're contributing to a 401k, make sure you at least contribute up to the match. And of course, you can contribute more. And the idea behind this is I want during those 5 years prior to retirement to really increase the savings, more contributions to the 401k, like I just mentioned, at least to the match. You want to make sure you have that emergency fund. That's 3 to 6 months of savings available. So if, for example, something happens, you have a car repair or something with the home, you're not jumping on a credit card or utilizing a credit card to pay for those expenses. And we know what that looks like with credit card debt. That could be, you know, 20, 25% interest rates. We don't want any part of that. So we want to increase our savings. And the nice thing now too, with different opportunities for using savings or say money markets for our liquid money, we're starting to see some attractive interest rates. If we went back a few years, you were getting paid next to nothing for having your liquid money with a bank or a money market or some sort of a savings account. Now we're starting to see that 4 to 5% range for some of these liquid accounts. So the nice part about with the savings, as you're increasing those deposits, we're actually getting a decent return. So number one with savings, look for ways, and again, look at online banks, look at different savings options to get the best possible interest rate you can so that as you're putting this money away, you're getting a nice return for it. Next part of that would be look for opportunities now to reduce debt. So again, if you've got credit cards that you're getting or you have high interest rates on, let's get rid of that. I would rather you get rid of those type of scenarios where you're paying high interest rates. Let's get rid of it, or at least have a plan to get rid of it sooner than later. Because again, if you're getting 4%, for example, in a savings account, but you're paying 20 some odd percent on a credit card, those numbers don't work. Let's get rid of the credit card or at least have a little bit more of an aggressive plan to get it paid down as soon as possible. And one thing I did want to mention for people that are doing periodic investments, a lot of people, and this is a smart idea where each month, let's say they put a certain amount of money toward an investment. Maybe it's an S&P 500 index fund where it's coming out of their checking or savings account each month and they're investing in the market. I love that idea because you're able to take advantage of dips in the market and then gradually build your portfolio to get better returns. Something to consider though, if you have a lot of debt though, and I'll make this scenario up, let's say you're paying $500 into buying an S&P 500 index fund each month, but yet you've got $10,000 of, say, credit card debt that you're paying 20 some odd percent to interest on that credit card. Let's put that money now to get rid of the credit card debt. Why am I saying that? Well, think of it this way. With the S&P 500, there is not a guarantee of a 20% return or 25% return. Well, let me tell you this though, when it comes to debt interest, the guarantee is a negative because they are charging on a credit card balance a 20 or 25% interest rate. So we want to shift that money to pay down and get rid of that credit card debt because that is a negative that we don't want to have. It's a high interest rate, and I'd rather you do that than adding more to the market because let's be honest, the market, there isn't a guarantee on a return, and the markets go up, down, and sideways. we don't know what the performance would be going for, but we do know what the performance will be going for on a credit card with you getting charged a high interest rate. So debt reduction is key. Let's get rid of anything that has a high interest rate. Of course, we want to look at auto loans as another debt out there. What we're really trying to do in retirement is get rid of as much debt as possible. And that also includes paying down your mortgage. But in the order of importance, obviously, it's the credit card debt. We want to get rid of that because of the high interest rates. Any personal loans, any auto loans, again, anything that takes money out of our pocket. Because again, in retirement, we're going to have less income coming in. So we need to reduce as much of the out of pocket, if you will, or the expenses. So look for this as an opportunity to reduce as much debt as possible during this 5-year period. Now, in the home that you're at, this is something to consider. Are you going to be living in that home in retirement, or is it something where you're going to be selling that home to downsize? Things to consider with monies that you have. We're talking about increasing your savings. We're talking about reducing debt, but also look at this as an opportunity where if there are certain repairs, like let's say to your bathroom or your kitchen, those are different areas of the home that get the best return when it comes to selling your home, because the kitchens and the bathrooms are so important. People are looking for that when they're buying a home, that they're in good shape. With something like that, if you go to sell your home, think of the money that you put into it for those repairs. That should help you with the overall value to get the most money you can from the home if you sell it going into retirement. Now, if you plan on staying there, that's another good reason to put money into the home, because that's something that in retirement, if that's the home that you're going to be in, you want those items taken care of while you're making more money. The challenge is in retirement when you're making less money to spend money in that direction. While you're making more money as you're working, look for that as an opportunity to do those repairs, because that'll help you. Number one, if you're looking to sell your home when you retire to get the most out of it, to downsize, or if you're looking to stay in the home in retirement to have those items taken care of before you actually retire. Now, with all of that, we need to look at, we took an inventory of our assets, we took an inventory of our debts. Now we need to look at our overall investments, the different items that are going to generate income. So for a lot of individuals, they may be in growth mode where they're investing in growth type investments. In retirement, you need to look at opportunities where now you have these assets to start generating income. It could be dividend stocks, it could be bonds, it could be different mutual funds that pay out income. That's a conversation you want to start having with your financial advisor. So during that 5-year period, you're gradually looking to make that shift from less in the way of a growth mode. And again, I'm not saying you can't have some of your assets in growth mode, but there needs to be a gradual shift so that you can start living off of these assets. And again, that's a conversation to have with your financial advisor, looking to take some of your growth assets and shift them more to income. Again, a couple examples could be dividend paying stocks. It could be bonds or different mutual funds that focus in that direction. Now, we need to also take a look at what is going to be your income in retirement. We talked about, well, now you're not working for this company. You've now retired. Now, what is the shift? We go from getting a check from your employer. Now we have to say, okay, now I'm going to be looking at different items like distributions I can take from my retirement accounts. That could be my 401k, my 403b, my traditional IRAs that I've been saving all of these years. We also need to take a look at, maybe you have a pension with your company. What does that look like? So we need to factor that in. And of course, when to take Social Security. That could be one of the most difficult questions to answer, is when should I take Social Security? The first thought is, okay, well, if I can wait to 70, let's maximize the most I can get for Social Security. Because once you reach full retirement age around 66, 67 years of age, by leaving that money to 70 before you start taking Social Security, that would increase roughly about 8% a year, the actual amount, 8% per year up to age 70. The easy answer is let it be, leave it. But for a lot of individuals, they can't wait. They need that income at the point that they retire, so they can't wait to that point. or letting it go to age 70. And the other thought is, too, we don't know when we're going to pass. So what I usually tell people is look at your family, look at your mom, look at your dad, look at your siblings to determine, you know, how old did your parents live? Did they live into their 90s? Well, it looks like that's a good opportunity, if we can, to wait to age 70 so we get the maximum Social Security payment. But what if you're in a situation where your family, your mom and dad, pass away in their 60s or 70s and they didn't get to an age where it would make sense to wait to claim your Social Security? It's a difficult decision, but you have to look at, number one, your income needs. You got to look at life expectancy of your family to determine, well, if you come from a family that passes away younger, 60s, 70s, maybe early 80s, should I claim it earlier before age 70? Or is it something where I don't need the income? I can wait. My family has a long history of living into their late 80s and 90s. That looks like a nice opportunity for age 70 or to wait to age 70. So those are the different things to consider when claiming Social Security. The next item we want to take a look at would be what your retirement budget would look like. And what do I mean by that? Well, basically, we've now evaluated all of our assets. We've taken a good look at the different debts that we have out there, look for opportunities to reduce those debts, to put us in a position that we are reducing what's going out the door, if you will, because in retirement, most likely we're going to be making less money. So we have to reduce what we're spending on now. And it could be different items like we talked about with reduction of debt, that's less cost that we're going to have. Also, if we are looking at in retirement, if we're downsizing, if we're taking the home that we have, selling it, getting rid of any mortgage that we have on it and buying a smaller home, well, that accomplishes two things. Number one, if we're able to get rid of any mortgage on it, well, that's an expense we're not going to have. Ideally, if you're able to pay off your home, or I should say selling the home, paying off the mortgage, and have a lump sum of money where you can buy the next home in cash, and then maybe have some other monies after that. So let me make up a scenario. Let's say you have a situation where you sell your home for $500,000. There's a $400,000 equity in the home, $100,000 of a mortgage. So now we've cleared $400,000. We are able to buy a home for $300,000 and maybe have another $100,000 where we could utilize that for different savings or different opportunities to maybe make interest on that money or some sort of investments, that could be another source of income. We've accomplished a lot with just taking that step. And you're probably thinking, well, David, based on your home prices, have you seen what the home prices are right now? Yes, they are very high. So the challenge for a lot of people is, well, they want to go ahead and sell their home. And right now looks like a nice opportunity to get a good price. But the hiccup is buying the next home, buying something that seems overpriced. So you want to evaluate what that would look like. Ideally, if those are the steps you're going to take, is the ability to clear off the mortgage, have cash to pay for a home, and hopefully have some extra money after that where we could use that to generate income or at least some sort of savings. Other items you want to take a look at too is in retirement, maybe you have two cars, maybe you only need the one car, or maybe you have higher end cars where maybe you could either downsize the type of car that you have, or maybe you have one higher end car and one not so much, if you will, just different ways that you can save. Ideally, if it's something where you own the car outright, that there isn't a payment on it or an auto loan, or if a situation is that maybe you're not driving that many miles, maybe it makes more sense to lease a car because, number one, you're going to always have the opportunity to get a new car every few years. So you're not going to have the expenses for the different repairs that you would have with an older car. And also, if you stay within that mileage, you're in good shape there. So again, that's something you want to evaluate with owning a car outright or leasing, depending on how many miles you'd be putting on the car. And maybe the situation is there you could downsize and not get as nice a car as you currently have, or at least one of the cars, or get rid of the one car and have only the one car to utilize. I'm throwing a lot of different things out there, but there is a way to save on that expense. So that's something you want to evaluate as you take these steps toward retirement. The final item I want to bring up, and this is something you already should have in place, but if you don't, your estate plan. You know, do you have a current will, a power of attorney, a living will, medical directive? Maybe there's a need for a trust. I highly suggest that even if you have these documents together, if it's been some time since you've taken a look at them, evaluated them, or maybe it's a situation where you just never got around putting them together, please, 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 please. I think I'll give you one more please. Please make sure that you do have a conversation with an estate planning attorney, especially when you get into retirement. Most likely you may be traveling more, doing different things that you weren't doing while you were working. You want to make sure if something happens to you while you're traveling, also as you're getting older medically, maybe there's situations where you become sick or ill and you can't handle your affairs. You want to make sure there's documents in place that your family, or maybe it's an attorney that acts in that capacity, they are able to help you. The last thing you want is a situation where you get sick, you need somebody to take care of your affairs for maybe a period of time, and you don't have those documents together. Now, there's situations where instead of a power of attorney being in place, which is relatively inexpensive, there may be the need for a guardianship, and that could be time consuming as well as very expensive. So do yourself a favor, as you're reaching retirement or getting nearer to retirement, sit down with an attorney, make sure your estate plan is in good order. And the key thing there too is not just for when you're living, you want to make sure that when you pass, you want things set up in the way that either goes to your spouse or to your children. And do you want them to have a lump sum of your assets, or do you want them to get payments over time? For a lot of families, there may be that one child that is not so good with money. So rather than giving them a lump sum, there are ways within a will or certain trusts that money can be paid to them gradually. So that's the type of control that you can have and you can set up in your legal documents. But bottom line, you want to be in a situation where you have that set up, especially as you get older. There could be some health issues as you're traveling more, maybe some more risk there. God forbid something happened. You want to make sure that your family is taken care of and you're taken care of, even if it's temporary type of situation that you're not able to handle the different affairs that you have, handling your finances, whatever it may be. And that would be my little wrap up, if you will, of things to consider taking a look at 5 years prior to your retirement. Do it gradually. The last thing you want to do is wait to the last moment to do it, because that adjustment from getting that regular paycheck from your employer to now having to live off of your assets could be shocking, if you will, and really derail your long-term plan to making sure that you are in good shape in retirement for you, for your spouse, and then eventually the legacy for your family. Thank you again for listening. My phone number to reach out to me, please do. I'd love to have some new ideas, different topics for future podcasts. Phone number for the office here at Shoreline Wealth Management, 732-902-7880. And of course, please visit us at shorelinewealth.com. We are located in Manchester and Manahawkin, New Jersey. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Please listen to my previous podcast. Have an amazing day, and we will talk next time. Take care.